get for your money. And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins. How are you doing this morning, Becky?
Well, I almost disappeared.
Did you get
there.
Your chair set?
I did. That was so funny. It was, just kind of slid right down to the bottom.
We're just starting the show and we almost lost you there.
I know, right?
So this morning we are here with our money man, Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage. How are you doing this morning, Dean?
Good morning, Mark and Becky.
Good morning, Dean. Okay, I'm going to get a grip. Are we ready? We're talking today. We talk about mortgages and how to qualify, and we talk a lot about credit scores. But there's a lot more to that than just credit scores. It's income. What income can be used? And you would think all income.
Can't I just use all income? I mean, I got some great mattress money.
Yeah.
Can I use that?
And I told you, Mark, I had a guy 90 days ago. He had $39,000 in his freezer. Cash.
That's some cold, hard cash right there.
Cold, hard cash. So.
Didn't I see that in a movie called Goodfellas?
Right. Well, we often get mattress money, mm-hmm. as we call it, cash set aside. I'll say they need proof of funds, and I get a picture of a bed with these stacks of $100 bills on it, and that's their proof of funds, which does that work?
No. We live in this heavy check and balance environment lending-wise. We've got to source any money. And so cash becomes a question of, and you know, Becky, in that wave in the early 2000s where it was so easy to buy a home, mattress money was used kind of through that phase, through the bubble before the crash. So here we are today. So any oddball deposit, any cash deposit on a consumer's bank statement has got to be sourced, as in where did it come from? I use the example of a John Deere tractor all the time. You know, they'll say, well, I sold a John Deere tractor. Well, good. I need a bill of sale. I got to be able to, you know, copy the check, copy the deposit, because we're going to source oddball deposits in cash. We have to.
Well, I had somebody that literally used a John Deere tractor, sold it, and that was where their down payment came from. Because I asked him when I listed his house, I said, now, you're not going to get any money out of your house because the mortgage was too high to actually result in any funds, and he was not a veteran. And I said, so what are you going to use for a down payment for your next house? I hated to sell his house right out from under him and then him not have a place, you know. And he said, well, see that tractor right out there? That's between $35,000 and $40,000 right there, and I'm selling it because he had an acreage and he was gonna buy a regular neighborhood, so he didn't need the tractor, but it cost a lot of money. So,
and that's totally acceptable. And I tell people, don't run from it. Just know that we're going to have to address it. And so, yeah, and we spend a lot of time with clients, hopefully before they find that house. Okay, so when we pre-approve them, typically we bring them to the office. We sit down, kind of get a game plan. Where's your source of money coming from? So that they're prepared for that bill of sale comment question on the sale of the John Deere tractor.
So is that the same for if they receive gift money? So if somebody, a family member.
Yep. So yeah, you and I had a conversation a couple weeks ago. Yeah. And lending has changed many a time since the last 30 or 40 years, but gift money is the same today as it was back when we purchased our first home in 1987. You know, is get a gift form executed, copy of the check, copy of deposit slip, and a copy of a check made payable from the donor to you. But let's take it a step further, Mark. If we got a second, is we've got to support monies from closing did not come from an unsecured loan cash source. So when I have gift involved, I've got to make sure whoever gifted, so the donor gifted you $10,000, I've got to make sure they've got $10,001 in their account that was viable, not cash, not an unsecured loan before they gifted it to you.
Because so grandma cannot take out a $3,000 loan and give it to the grandchild for a down payment?
No, they cannot.
Okay. So you're kind of getting invasive there into grandma's account, right?
Well, and it's not a snapshot of grandma, where are you spending your money? It is a snapshot of grandma, did you have $3,001 in that account before you gifted three? That makes sense.
And is that the same on FHA versus conventional loan? Is there any difference between
nope.
the two?
It's just viable money.
Yeah.
Because you got to remember the number one source in fraud and lending is money laundering. So cash is being scrutinized today more than ever.
Okay. So down payment. What else cannot be counted as a down payment? How about a loan against life insurance?
You can do that. It's got to be a secured loan. So if it's viable money that you have, that we can paper trail, we're okay.
What's viable?
Well, non-unsecured. So if it's unsecured, it's not viable in a lender's eyes.
Okay. So what you're talking about is borrowing on your good name
right.
rather than having collateral for the loan, right?
Correct.
Okay. So you have to have collateral for a loan.
Correct.
Do you know, I didn't realize one time I had I think this was FHA, could have even been VA, but they borrowed their down payment money against a credit card. And that was okay because their debt-to-income ratio was fine, counting that loan they took out for their down payment. Is that still doable?
No, it's not.
Okay, man, all these little wormholes are going away, right?
Yeah, and it's that common sense. That's the part in lending, you know, the overreaction following the crash was, and today, common sense doesn't count. We'll get into the income here in a little bit, but someone can have $1 million in an investment account and a bad credit score, and really they're in a pickle to buy a house. Even though they have enough investment money to pay cash for the house, that credit score is that driving force.
But that credit score indicates that they've not been paying the money back somewhere, right?
I agree, but if they've got $1 million in an investment account, you would go, well, wait a minute. They could pay for that house twice.
Well, then borrow against the investment account.
Right, agree.
You know, because you can do that, but, man, a bad credit score means...
Oh, it does. It impacts you.
...that you've not been a responsible borrower and paid back on time, so... Usually, I mean, there can be some goof ups in a credit score, but typically your credit score indicates how responsible you are with your finances.
I always say it paints a picture.
It does paint a picture.
Today we're talking with Dean Riddell with SWBC Mortgage. And if you want to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 405-840-1000. 405-840-1000. And it looks like Becky might have some giveaways of some sort when we come back. On Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We're talking with Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage, and we're talking about what income you can use to get a loan.
Well, and income and earned wages are two different things. And we had a client that... had lots of income from investments. So can you use income from investments if it's not wages, Dean?
Yes, and Becky, that's the one I think that we closed 6-8 months ago. Mm-hmm. And in his case, he wasn't drawing much money, if any, off his investments. So he had Social Security. And so when you have someone like that who's got an investment account, and basically we've got to be able to, he can take a draw And that's probably the point behind that whole loan or situation. He can take a draw against his money, and we can use that as viable income to qualify for the loan. So let's paint a picture. Here's a guy who's buying a $300,000 house. He draws Social Security at $3,000 a month, and his wife has $1,500. You go, how can you qualify for a $300,000 house? But if you get $1 million or whatever that number is investment account, I can take like a $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 monthly distribution from those monies as viable income to use it to qualify for him to purchase that home.
But you still have to have a good credit report,
you
right?
You do. And so, you know, on that distribution is we get a letter from the financial advisor that says, Becky set up to draw $5,000 a month effective March 1. I've got to show that initial distribution coming into your account. Then after they close, guys, they can increase it. They can turn it off. They can do what they want.
Well, how long does it have to last mathematically?
Oh, good question. 3 years. So.
Boy, you could be in trouble on that fourth year. The lender could, right?
Well, but and paint the story. If he's got $150,000 in his investment account that he wants to use, and I need $5,000 a month to qualify him. So $5,000 a month is $60,000 a year. That's $180,000 over 36 months. He doesn't have enough monies in that investment account to use to qualify.
That's $1 million he would have enough.
$1 million, he's okay.
Okay. Well, why wouldn't someone with $1 million just want to take it out and pay for their house?
Well, I think in today's environment, and of course rates have inched up, as I'm sure we'll touch on, but with rates as low as they've been historically, why would you use your cash when interest rates are 3 year or less? Just the growth of that income or that money.
Well, in some income, when you take it out, it becomes taxable.
Right.
And if you're earning a good amount of money, you'd rather just put that off.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So that you were not in such a higher tax bracket mm-hmm. than that. So.
Now, what is the most common thing that people think they can use money-wise and ends up they can't?
You know, Mark, great, incredible question. But it gets into the bonus commission to overtime.
Yeah.
So I had a gentleman earlier this week, and he's had 6 months of – he's making it happen commission-wise. So in his eyes, Dean, I'm making $6,000 a month commission. Great. How long have you been doing that? 6 months. You know, I was a W-2 employee salary before that. Well, guess what, guys? We can't use that 6 months of make-it-happen income to qualify.
How much history of income do you have to have?
On that commission, we're going to need 2-year history.
Okay.
To average that out.
That happens a lot oil and gas industry. Mm-hmm. People will be W-2 employed, and then they'll go off on their own, or they'll change companies, or sometimes the company changes them. I actually got someone approved that happened to work for the same company and change from a W-2 to a 1099 employee or contractor. Yeah. Change from employee to contractor, but it was such a higher amount of money that it way more than covered for the taxes and the self-employment tax and stuff that you've got to pay yourself when you're self-employed. The employer doesn't participate in that. But changing from an employee to a contractor, you have to have a 2-year history, and not just a 2-year history. You have to have a 2-year history of income
that you support on tax returns.
Right?
Yep.
And what if the first year you end up making $40,000 and the second year you end up making $80,000?
Well, then we're going to obviously average those two to make it a $60,000 qualifiable income. Flip that, though. Coming off pandemic, say they made
$80,000 and then they switched over to $40,000?
Yeah.
I mean, the second year?
Lenders, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which governs, you know, what we do, what we can use and not use. Basically, if any business owner has taken a drop in income, or if their earnings were down as compared to the prior year, then we've got to question that. And it may prevent them from buying a home depending upon what we learn financially.
So can you find out ahead of time? Here's what we run into is that we run into the fact that we really don't want to sell someone's home if they're planning on making an upward move, a downward move, or even a lateral move, just a different part of town maybe. We don't want to sell their house out from under them if they cannot qualify for their next house.
And so I spoke to a group of people yesterday, and the biggest question that I start, or the biggest item I start with when I learn someone is self-employed or a business owner, is I don't care about your investment account. We got to start with your last 2 years of business and personal returns. And so today's environment, as you guys know, we live in this point-and-click environment online where I just saw a commercial. I think I'm going to apply and say I'm a business owner. You're almost setting yourself up for uncertainty if you don't be up front, provide those tax returns right out of the gate. A lender can't. I mean, the guy that applied earlier this week, he made $10,000 a month. In a point-and-click environment, I'm applying online, I make $10,000 a month. Well, I've learned by talking to him, $6,000 of that has only been in place for 6 months. So when someone is a business owner and or 1099 commissioned, get that income out of the way, address that right up front, which will prevent your seller from being in a predicament where I've sold my house, now I have nowhere to go.
Right. Wow.
Huge. Huge.
Yeah, that is huge.
Now, we talked about someone going from from a W-2 to 1099. Now, if it was the opposite, they were going from 1099 to W-2, is it still the same two-year?
No, because then your risk as a lender is totally different when that buyer is a W-2 guaranteed salary. It's the volatility of that commissioned income that Fannie Mae doesn't like. It's that because you can have a great month, bad month, you know, just the volatility of the ups and downs. Or someone that's W-2'd, it's a constant income.
So how long do they need? Do you need any length of time?
No, sometimes it can be 30 days.
Okay.
Make that transition and let's go get the offer letter. And, you know, we understand they're going to a salary of $60,000 a year effective March 1. And we're closing mid-March.
So somebody gets a raise in that environment and they're a W-2 employee. Yeah, they can walk in 30 days after or whenever after and present that.
Well, who is this Fannie Mae that's making all the rules?
Who's she be?
Is Freddie her brother?
Fannie and Freddie and Jenny.
So, and Jenny, that's right.
And you know, they regulate all lenders, and I'll say this, probably 95% of all conventional loans across the country are owned, that security is owned by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. So lenders, when they underwrite files, originate files, are underwriting to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac guidelines. The other 5% will be what you and I know to be portfolio loans or, you know, the hard money loans that are out there. But most conventional loans, by far, are underwritten to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac guidelines.
Okay. Explain what a hard money loan is.
I had one of these about 2 weeks ago. A guy has money walking away from the sale of his house with $200,000, wants to buy a $500,000. He was on the job 6 months. He had serious employment gap prior to that 6 months, and he's in a commissioned environment. Me, any bank in Oklahoma City or around the country, he's not going to fall within that. And he had bad credit score, too. So let's make it uglier. We're going to try to fit him into a box that conforms to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac guide, or even FHA if he could. He can't. Credit's kicking him outside the box. His income source is kicking him outside the box. So there'll be a private lender, hard money lender, that'll say, yeah, we'll finance it. We need 40% down payment, and your rate's going to be 6%. So it's that they can get financing. It won't be what's going on in the conforming world today.
Okay.
Great question, Becky. Great question.
So name us something else that bonuses. Say they've gotten a bonus of $10,000 a year for the last 10 years. How is that going to affect the income and how much house they can buy?
We can use that. If we can show there has been a history of bonus income, then we can average that out and say, yep, they have a history of earning bonus income.
Does it only have to be 2 years?
And a lot of times you may dig deeper if you need more money. So maybe you need $200 more a month. We may say, what did your bonus income look like 3 years ago? Where I can average that out over a 3 year period.
Oh, wow.
So you can get dicey. Now, the overtime is the challenge because.
And we're going to talk about overtime when we come back from our break. Remember, we've got some giveaways coming up.
We'll be back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It's time for our word of the day. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. And Becky, our word of the day is?
Conforming.
I will not conform.
Well, if you want a good interest rate, you're going to conform. You're going to get a conforming loan. And a conforming loan is on a house, a mortgage. It meets the guidelines set forth by the Federal Housing Finance Agency. So when we talk about Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae and Jennie Mae, Dean Riddell's going to describe to us who these people are. Who is Fannie Mae?
So they are a government-sponsored entity, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, both are. So anytime... And you correct me on the radio many a time when I say Fannie and Freddie, you'll always say, who is Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac?
Well,
or Fannie and Freddie. So Fannie and Freddie are the government-sponsored agencies that drive the conforming boundaries for all lenders to operate with. So when someone is doing a conventional loan, 95% of the time, guys, they are dealing with a Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac conforming loan.
And why do we call it Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? Because it's the Federal National Mortgage Association. Is Fannie Mae.
And Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation is Freddie Mac.
Freddie Mac. Who's Jennie Mae?
Jennie Mae securitizes. Those are FHA and VA products. So when you have... So when a lender typically closes a conventional loan, Fannie Mae loan... You can sell them to Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, onesies, twosies, you know, a loan at a time or bulk loans at a time to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. Jennie Mae ties into, those are securitized pools, and that's where some of your money guys, your buyers who have investment money, maybe have funds tied up or securities in Jennie Mae pools. And those are FHA, VA products. So when a loan is closed with a lender, we're not selling them onesies, twosies to Jennie Mae. Those are securitized in a pool of 5,000 loans, 10,000 loans, $5 million, $10 million. Common characteristics, i.e. of rate, typically, or end term, and those are sold in the secondary market as well, but they're securitized as Jennie Mae pools. So Government National Mortgage Association defines Jennie Mae.
Have you ever asked a question and got more of an answer than you wanted?
These are good questions.
But, well, and people hear, you know, us throw around terms, and sometimes they're not real easy to understand exactly, you know, who is this Fannie Mae person.
First.
And it's not a person. It's an agency of the government.
Right.
And because our government needs more agencies, right? No, these have been around a very long time.
But the big part,
and the most common though, is Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. When you hear stuff on the radio, TV, newspaper, online, it's typically, you know, the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, because those are those ones that are under heavy scrutiny right now. With, you know, should they be in conservatorship or not, or where are they financially? Because of the bailout, they got some reprieve.
And there's a whole nother world in home financing, which is the secondary market. Mm-hmm. Now, we won't dive too deep into those woods. Those are deep woods, but it's basically most home loans get sold into the secondary market. And that can get frustrating to consumers to understand who owns my loan at the time.
And why would a mortgage company who just originated this loan sell my loan to somebody else?
Yeah.
So why would they sell?
And you know, Becky, that by definition, I think it's good for everyone to hear and understand. So remember when I said when a conventional loan is closed, 95% of the time it's going to be owned. That note is going to be owned by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. Okay.
Right.
So when a loan is sold, what is being sold is the servicing for that loan. It's still a Fannie Mae loan. If we close a loan, we keep our loans, and you know that. So say we were selling our loans and we closed a conventional loan today. It'll be sold to Fannie Mae. They pay us a servicing fee to service that loan. And let's say we sell it to Chase. It's still a Fannie Mae loan. What was sold to Chase was the servicing rights for that loan. Fannie Mae will then pay Chase to service that loan, which is collect payments, pay taxes, pay insurance. It can be frustrating though, Mark, because a lot of times when that loan is sold, it's not sold once, and it may be sold three times in 6 months.
Yeah.
But there's a value on what's called a servicing release premium that lenders use, which is revenue. And sometimes, without getting too deep, it's maneuvering a balance sheet if you're a lender. So if you need to show more income and your fiscal year cuts off in May, you may sell 10,000 loans. So you can book that as income to make your balance sheet look prettier. Mm-hmm. And then in turn, go buy 100,000 loans because you can amortize that out over a period of time. So sometimes it's a monkeying of a balance sheet that can make that, why was my loan sold? And it's not, you're right, Becky, they take it personal. Why was my loan sold?
Right.
Well, wasn't good enough for you.
It's not alphabetical. Common characteristics.
Well, and it's kind of difficult to sell loans that aren't performing right.
Correct.
I mean, like if someone's, you know, 6 months in 12, they've been 30 days late on their payment, that's going to be a hard loan to sell on the secondary market, isn't it?
And it wouldn't be sold.
Yeah. You just kind of have to.
I mean, literally, because whoever is acquiring that servicing would say, we're not acquiring anything that's 2 months and greater past due. So you may have 10,000 loans in that pool, but when you carve out the ones that are 60 days and greater past due, you're not selling 10,000 loans, you're selling 9,500 loans.
So, good
stuff.
Well, if you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 405-840-1000. That's 405-840-1000.
Well, I do have a couple of giveaways for you today. There is a show coming to our new convention center. Did you know we had a new convention center, Mark?
I did know we had a brand sparkling, spanking new convention center.
Well, this is at the new convention center. So if you want to go to an event there without it costing you anything, you need to call us at 840-1000, 405-840-1000. It is the Spring Remodel and Landscape Show. And this is February 25th to 27th, so the last weekend of the month. 2 weeks from now, and this even gives you $10 of free parking in the convention center parking garage. So
I'm shocked at that.
I know. So these are good tickets.
Yeah, this is great.
It'll get you in. Plus, and it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday it's 2 to 7. Saturday it's 10 to 7, and on Sunday it's 11 to 5. The last weekend of the month, 2 weeks from this weekend. And so give us a call, ask us a question, comment, or just tell us you want the tickets. We don't care. Mr. Gannon will take it. And I do have, I think I've got about a dozen of these, so I can give you two or four or whatever. Actually, I've got two dozen of these, so give us a call. And
grab a friend, grab a spouse. Just don't grab another person's spouse. And just go to the convention center.
That could be a problem, right? Well, we're talking about what money can and cannot be used for income or down payment. And gambling winnings cannot be used as a down payment, right?
Great story. You can. It gets back to tax returns. And so this is probably 3 years ago. I had someone who basically that was their source of income was gambling. And so I said, do I need your 2 years tax returns? And guys, I mean, I think each year was probably about 2 foot tall of copies of their tax returns. She brought in, almost a dolly to bring her tax returns to me because that's what she did flat out every day. And she was successful.
Wow.
I had to paper trail all her pluses and minuses. I mean, it was, so it can be done.
Wow.
But those onesies, twosies can't be done.
They paper trail like every winning day or every winning event?
That the casino would provide her.
Yeah.
Yep, when she cashed in, they gave her, yep. And Mark, it was, it's the only time I've seen it, and it was an eye-opener.
Yeah.
Hey, I couldn't do that, but she did. She did it well.
Man, talk about a poker face.
Wow, no kidding.
Well, we have a caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you have a question, or are you looking for the tickets?
No, I was just calling for the tickets. It sounds so appealing.
Well, hang on. Just hang on the line, and Mike Gannon's going to get your information during the break, and we will send the tickets your way.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you so much.
You want because great. We can be generous today.
Yeah.
Okay. So, thank you. Okay.
Well, thank you for listening.
So, yeah, I think I've told this story before about I had someone who said they were on a one-year track to save up the money for their down payment, and she called me the following month and said, we've got our down payment. We can buy. And I went, awesome. And so she went to the lender, and the lender, then she called me about, this has been years ago, so things were not as instantaneous as they are now, but the lender told her into it. She called me. I thought she was laughing, and she was crying, like boo-hoo crying, because the lender would not let her use the gambling funds where they had gone out with two other couples to the track and bet this long shot trifecta and won and split it three ways. And she had the little ticket and everything from the casino because it paid out enough money to where they had to issue, 1099, I guess.
Yeah, it is.
And, but at the time, that was not allowed. Would that be allowed today if they had the 1099 from the casino?
You know, probably.
Just a one-time windfall?
Probably so. For an asset or a down payment, yes. Not from an income stream, but from where did it come from? You could paper trail where that came from.
Yeah, okay.
When we come back, we'll be talking about where is this interest rate going? Dear Dean. When we come back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Dean Riddell, why don't you give your license number so we can be legal?
196-895.
There you go, because Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae or Jeannie Mae or some long lost cousin
or May. Uncle Sam
Earl May may be listening in.
Uncle Joe in the White House.
There it is. It's time for our smoking hot deal.
Hot. Feeling hot. Oh, Lord.
Our smoking hot deal is brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn, and on 63rd, just west of Meridian. Casa Perico, fresh hot Mexican food. Becky, what is our smoking hot deal today?
Well, we've got one that's about 1550 square feet in Choctaw. It's sort of the Midwest City Choctaw area. It is 1701 Choctaw Wood Drive. It is priced at $230,000. It was built in 2010. It's actually 1561 square feet. So nice house in the Choctaw School District, and it is our smoking hot deal. And Casa Perico, wow. I am ready to go there today. Today was a lot chillier walking out than I expected.
Do you know what? I was a little surprised this morning with the, that is a biting wind.
Yes,
and
it
needs some hot Mexican food on this day, I think.
There you go.
Yep.
The shrimp and fish soup. So.
Well, I think we have a caller calling in with a question. Hey, John, thanks for calling in. How can we help you?
Yes, I have a question. I haven't heard you speak much about VA loans. What if you're a veteran? Does a VA loan, is that automatically the best type of loan for you to get in the FHA or the other way? How does that work? And I'll just listen.
Great question. So, Dean, if you're a veteran, is the VA loan the best possible loan for you compared to FHA conventional? That was a question.
Great question. So I love the VA loan. And so it all depends on what John wants to accomplish. So a guy this last week literally is a veteran, wants to buy a home, selling a home, wants to put $200,000 down. Well, you can look at that one or two ways. I can use my VA, put $200,000 down or up to $200,000 down. I can use my VA eligibility, do 100% financing, put $200,000 away, or am I better off just going to conventional financing? And because your rate's probably going to be cheaper on the conventional loan in that picture, depending upon what John wants to do, how much money he's going to put down.
But if John doesn't have so much money the VA loan.
I love it.
Well, there's a couple of back drawbacks to the VA loan, though. One is the funding fee.
Could be. Mm-hmm.
Which is the first time you use your VA loan. Like
2.6.
It went up again, didn't it?
Yeah, it's like 3.6 on the second one. But depending upon your down payment, because your offshoot to that is your PMI. So it all depends on what John's down payment game plan is.
Well, let's talk about this scenario for a second. John, just give us a scenario about a $250,000 house and maybe.
John's just listening. He hung up. Yeah.
Let's just say John's buying a $250,000 house and he really does not have a down payment. Well, then the VA loan's definitely
the answer.
The answer. The other, what if John has 5% down payment on this loan? Because that's what, I mean, I've got veteran kids.
Right.
And they put 5% down on their when they bought their house. And the reason they did that is because the VA funding fee went way down. It saved 2%.
So let's think about it. So if you're going to finance.
Let's go $200,000 house. It's easier to calculate your
head. I had it going. I was with you.
Okay.
So they buy a $200,000 house. They put 5% down, so they're financing $190,000.
Right.
Okay. So on the VA road, you take that loan amount of $190,000 times 2.6. So that's $4,500. So his loan amount to go VA financing would be around $194,500. Okay.
Okay.
The plus at that stage is he has no monthly PMI.
Private mortgage insurance, which can be very expensive.
Back to that credit score. So depending upon John's credit score, say it was 800 score, his PMI won't be too high because it's credit score driven. But his loan amount would be $194.5.
It's still likely to be about $100 a month, even with a high credit score, isn't it? For on a $200,000 loan?
It's probably less than that. If you got an 800 score, probably not. It's probably a $60 or $70.
Okay.
Monthly premium.
But if you have a 700 score,
then you're in that.
You're in that 100, maybe 100. Even 110 or so.
Yes.
A month, every month.
Right. So that's the plus and minus of do I go VA and use my eligibility if I'm putting money down or not. So some of it depends upon that credit score piece.
Yeah.
The conventional loan is driven off credit score, rate-wise.
And you can calculate this, by the way.
Right.
I mean, I love the math part.
I do too.
So you can calculate, well, would it be monthly cheaper? Where's the break-even point? And would it be cheaper to pay the PMI but at a lower interest rate, say the interest rate's 3.5% on the VA loan, but it's 3.25%
right
on the conventional loan, that quarter of a percent, how much difference is that a month, and does the PMI offset it? It's a math question, and someone like Dean will sit down and work that out with you, tell you the pluses and minuses, and then can you make the monthly payment on that? Right. So.
Yep, and you also have the financial calculators on your website. You can go to DeanRiddellHomeLoans.com or go to BeckyIvins.com. Click on Becky's favorites, and SWBC Mortgage with Dean Riddell is right there at the top. We just got about a minute or so left, and I get asked this every day, Dean, what's happening with the interest rates?
So I had a y'all get a kick out of this. Yesterday I had a realtor call and says, I want to try to send a buyer. We got to get her wrapped up. This has been a lady that I have pre-qualified for about a year. She said, we need to do it before rates go up. And I said, well, do you realize rates have gone up about 3/4 to a point in the last 7 weeks? She said, already? So
pay attention.
I was laughing when Becky was giving that analogy of a 3.25 conventional loan, because that conventional loan today is probably 4, 4.125.
Right, right.
So in our world, the Fed has a big meeting mid-March. We lenders kind of project what we anticipate is going to happen. When they make the announcement and it's what we anticipate, I don't think the rates are going to continue to go up. Does that make sense? We kind of look ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the Fed makes a surprising announcement where we overreacted prior to their meeting, you'll see rates improve. But we kind of take the ramp up. When I say we, lenders,
yeah,
rate wise, we elevate that before the Fed meeting.
Mid-March. Yeah. Mid-March is the key. Yeah.
Okay. You guys give us a call. We've got a few more tickets. Just call my office. 405-722-3232. It's 722-3232.
Thanks for being with us on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. News Radio 1000, KTOK.